Welcome to another episode of Hogbeat Radio. I'm Mason Choate. I have Riley McFerrin. I have Daniel Fair with me. We are from Hogbeat.com, H-A-W-G-B-E-A-T.com. Your Arkansas Razorbacks fresh off of a huge upset win over the number four Tennessee Volunteers. We all called it on the last episode of Hogbeat Radio. Each one of us predicted that the Razorbacks were going to beat Tennessee. That is a lie. Not a lot of people predicted it. They stormed the field. It was incredible. We're going to give our final thoughts on that. We got to talk about Taylen Green's injury. But the Hogs are on a bye week, so we're going to talk some basketball and some baseball. You got the tip-off tour for John Calipari and the Hoop Hogs this weekend. And then also we got some baseball exhibitions against Oklahoma State. We're going to have coverage on hogbeat.com, H-A-W-G-B-E-A-T.com for all of those throughout the weekend. So make sure you are subscribed. Less than $100 a year, less than $10 a month. And I always say, if you can't afford it, or if you just want to try it, give it a test drive, then hit me up on Twitter, and I will I'll help you out with that, with our premium content. If you're like, is it really worth it? It is. I really, truly believe it is. All three of us do. So give us some help there. And then also just our YouTube page. You can watch this video if you are on hogbeat.com via our YouTube. So make sure you go to Hogbeat, subscribe to our YouTube, give us a thumbs up, give us a like wherever you're listening to this. We appreciate the support. All right, boys, let's bring it in. Riley, we'll get your reaction first because, I mean, 19-14, the Razorbacks knock off the Tennessee Volunteers, and now you're looking at this season a lot differently.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely time for not only us, but, I mean, a lot of people to eat some crow, because this Arkansas football team went out and showed that they're not, you know, they're not the team that everybody thought that they were. You know, everybody kind of talks about, can Arkansas win, you know, a one-score game, one-possession game, whatever? Well, in crunch time, when it mattered the most, and it was a little iffy at the end, you know, when Nico Iamaliava, got the name right that time, whenever Nico threw that long pass to Dante Thornton on that last drive to kind of get them into Arkansas's territory, I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, here we go again. You know, how is Arkansas going to lose this game? But Travis Williams' unit, man, it's playing really good. It's playing lights out the last few games. It buckled down, got the job done. And so now I think, you know, after this Tennessee win, this is a potential jumping off point, a time for the team. You know, I mean, even from the outside view, fans are kind of reevaluating expectations. You know, how many games can Arkansas win at this point? I know you and I and Daniel, you know, we talked about after this game, like, Arkansas should make a bowl game. Can they win 8-9 games? Like, is that a possibility? And I think it is. So, I mean, this bye week, you know, it's a huge opportunity to get healthy before playing LSU. And I mean, yeah, it's a huge win, season defining win, for this Arkansas football team.
Yeah. I predicted, I think in our score prediction story on Friday, I predicted, I think it was 45-10 Tennessee was going to win. So I kind of figured that Arkansas wouldn't score a ton. But I'll throw an apology to Travis Williams. I was not familiar with your game. I was not expecting him to be able to hold down the number one offense in the country. But you know, and on that last drive, I mean, kind of on the same page as Riley, like, they got the ball back with 1:17, and I was like, all right, here it comes. I texted a buddy and I said I've seen this movie 100 times. But yeah, the defense held up strong, outside of that one pass to Dante Thornton, and got the win. And, you know, heading into a bye week, you've got some momentum. You've got LSU coming to town next weekend, and, you know, get healthy, get right. And then, we'll see where it takes them from here, but it's a good feeling to be going into the bye week at 4-2.
4-2, you're 2-1 in the SEC. I think the first time since 2011 under Bobby Petrino that you're 2-1 in SEC play. So that's something to be excited about. You're starting to look at some games and maybe a little bit more winnable than you thought they would be. So that is good for Arkansas. Now, one of the big stories, aside from just the fact that the Razorbacks won this game, they stormed the field, all that good stuff, was Taylen Green's injury. So the starting quarterback of your Arkansas Razorbacks early in the fourth quarter, he gets hit by Omar Norman Lott, something like that. Yep. You know, people were arguing if it's a dirty hit or not, you know, whether or not it was, it happened, and looked like Taylen's knee, his left knee, got hyperextended. It looked bad. And he was in pain, went to the injury tent. We were keeping an eye on him. He comes back out. He's ready to go back in on that same drive. Of course, Malachi Singleton, you know, comes in at quarterback. And then, you know, Talen comes back in, and you saw that he scrambles out, kind of gets tackled, and he's got a limp off the field. He couldn't play the rest of the game. So Singleton comes in, SEC Freshman of the Week, Malachi Singleton. He led them on the go-ahead touchdown drive. He had the go-ahead touchdown, the 11-yard carry. You know, we heard from Sam Pittman that the offense kind of changes with Malachi Singleton. It's more of a read option offense. He can't really do as much as Talen in the passing game. And so we'll kind of see what happens. You know, we've heard some updates from Sam Pittman throughout the week. Here's what the latest from Pittman is on Wednesday via the SEC teleconference.
Well, we don't think it's MCL now, more of a bone bruise, and very, very sore on him. So hopefully he'll be back by LSU. It'll kind of be day to day right now, but our diagnosis was there was not any ligament damage.
And I was also wondering about Patrick Kudus and Jalen Braxton. I know those are a couple of guys that have been out. Just kind of what's the latest on those guys?
Well, we're certainly hoping they can come back. Kudus practiced yesterday. We'll practice again today. Braxton will be ready by Thursday. Hopefully we can get some of those guys back.
So I threw in the quotes there on Patrick Kudus and Jalen Braxton because obviously this is a team that's beat up after two games against really physical teams, Texas A&M and Tennessee. And so the bye week couldn't come at a better time for Arkansas, especially you look at your next opponent, LSU. They're playing Ole Miss this weekend. So that's going to be a tough test for them. And then Arkansas gets to have some rest. We'll see what happens with Talen. You know, they're going to be really, really careful with him. But guys, I guess we need to approach this subject. Like, are we okay if Talen has to miss a game or two? How do we feel? Like, what if Malachi Singleton is the starting quarterback for the Arkansas Razorbacks? Let's just say for the LSU game. Let's not go past that. Do we think, does it change your mind on how Arkansas would perform against LSU if Malachi Singleton's the quarterback?
Listen, I know he was SEC Freshman of the Week and, you know, former four-star talent. He's a talented player. Like, I'm not going to sit here and deny that. But your offense completely changes without Talen Green. This offense was built around him. I mean, Bobby Petrino, or I don't know if Bobby Petrino ever said it, but it's been said multiple times he was handpicked this offseason to lead the offense. So without Talen Green, you're really limited in what you can do, especially, you know, in the pass game. And, you know, Malachi Singleton, 6 foot six, he's really fast. Or I'm sorry, Talen Green, 6 foot six, really fast. You know, he can just make plays on the field. And I mean, yeah, without Talen Green, it's going to be weird. And do you guys remember the last time Arkansas played a backup quarterback against LSU? That was Malik Hornsby. Now, to be fair, LSU had Harold Perkins, and they won't have that this game. Have him this game. I think he's out for the entire year. So I'm not super confident if Malachi Singleton is running on the field for the LSU game. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. He proved me wrong in the Tennessee game, but it would definitely surprise me.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If it wasn't LSU and maybe a different SEC team, I'd feel a little bit different. Like if they're playing, you know, Mississippi State this weekend, I would feel okay because Mississippi State's not nearly as good as LSU is. But yeah, I'm not super confident. I mean, he might, you know, make me eat my words again, like he did in that Tennessee game. But you know, not having Talen Green out there, not having that playmaking ability, you know, not having that chemistry with the wide receivers and with the offensive line, it wouldn't bode well if Malachi Singleton trots out there, in my opinion. And that's nothing on him. That's just a matter of, you know, I don't feel like he's 100% ready for the moment yet.
Well, here's the positive. If it is, in fact, Malachi Singleton, which is a big if at this point, is that he gets 2 weeks to prepare, like two full weeks of you are the starting quarterback. But the other thing that you have to consider is like they're still trying to figure out if Talen's going to be good to go. So I would assume that they're maybe preparing Malachi as if he would be the starter. And then, you know, if Talen's going to go, that's great. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's an off week this week. I feel like most of the guys are probably going to stay in town. You know, Andrew Armstrong went on Feinbaum, said that he's staying in town and watching LSU film. He's going to watch LSU Ole Miss on Saturday. So seems like these guys are staying locked in. You would hope so. And obviously, you know, Sam Pittman off of a bye week has been pretty darn good at Arkansas. I think he's undefeated off of a bye week. So things are looking up for the Razorbacks. you know, comparatively, we were talking after like the UAB game of like, this is not good. Then they go and beat Auburn and we're like, man, they could really beat A&M. Tricked ourselves again, like we always do, that Arkansas could beat A&M. You lose to A&M, then you're disappointed again. You know, this team isn't what we thought they were going to be. And then they beat Tennessee. So I feel like we all need to quit drawing conclusions with this team and just watch them. And they have been a lot of fun. And that win against Tennessee was a lot of fun. Riley and I were there. Daniel, sorry you weren't there, man. But okay. It was for anybody who was in the building, it was a lot of fun. It was an electric atmosphere. You know, I feel like I've kind of been critical of the in-game atmosphere for Arkansas at Razorback Stadium over the past few years. I thought this was easily the best that it's been since the 2021 Texas game. It was elite, Riley.
Yeah, so, you know, I was down on the field for the final 5 minutes, and you could kind of get the sense, just based off how security was running around, that if Arkansas was going to pull this game out, there was going to be a field storm. You just kind of got that vibe. And sure enough, man, whenever Tennessee quarterback, you know, whenever the Nico ran out of bounds on that final play, I'm not really sure what he was doing there. But whenever that happened, all the fans started pouring out. Luckily, I was in a relatively safe location, so I didn't get trampled. But funnily enough, some guy got arrested literally 2 feet in front of me. So that was pretty interesting. Not sure why. But yeah, I mean, electric atmosphere. It's definitely surreal being down there in that kind of a moment and just looking around, seeing all the fans. I mean, it's electric. People are yelling. And then seeing the field storm, I didn't get to stay the entire time. I had to leave and go do stuff, but super electric. If Arkansas can continue to replicate that kind of atmosphere, which, I mean, this LSU game, 6 o'clock at night, I don't see why they couldn't, especially at coming off that Tennessee win, the hype should be through the roof. So yeah, I mean, it should be hopefully an electric atmosphere the rest of the year. And if it is, that should give Arkansas a pretty good advantage at home.
All right, let's knock out some more of this injury news before we move on from football. So we mentioned Taylen Green. Obviously, that's the big one. Everybody, you know, he's your starting quarterback. You want to know. Patrick Kudus, who's had the back injury, he's been out all year. I don't know. I don't even know why Sam Pittman's doing this to us. Why is he trying to tell us that Patrick Kudus is going to come back and play? Like, if he does, that's awesome. But think about it. The offensive line has been, you know, the same five all year long. Do you really want to mess with that? Because you would then you're saying, you know, you're probably going to put Kudus back at guard because Pittman said they almost ruined him by playing him at tackle last year. So you're probably going to have to play Kudus at guard. Then you would ask maybe Emarion Harris, to maybe move out to tackle, or maybe you just take him out of the starting lineup. Like that's something that they have to consider when you bring Kudus back. So we'll see what happens there. Miguel Mitchell, the transfer safety from Florida, who hasn't played in a game this year. Apparently he's healthy now. He's looked healthy all year to me. So, but apparently he's good to go now. We'll see if he plays against LSU. Jalen Braxton. What was the news on Jalen Braxton? I feel like Braxton's still just a wait and see with the bone bruise and tendonitis. And by the way, I spoke with a doctor this week, guys. I didn't realize how serious bone bruises could be. I was speaking with a doctor this week, and you know, take this with a grain of salt because I'm no medical expert and I'm not trying to like pass along any medical information as fact, but it can really keep you out for a long time. And so maybe that's what's happening with Braxton. Maybe it is the tendonitis still bothering him, which I couldn't even tell you what that is. But that's what's going on with Jalen Braxton. That's your number one corner. You would like to have him back. And then another big one, guys, kicker Kyle Ramsey, significant injury, according to Sam Pittman, suffered in the Tennessee game. We saw Matthew Shipley come in, hit a 23-yard field goal. He also hit a PAT. The transfer from Hawaii, he's finally getting his shot. You know, we've been saying it over and over again. Kyle Ramsey's what? I think he's 7-for-12 on the year, something along the lines of that. So Matthew Shipley gets his shot. Guys, his brother, I don't know if you know this, is a kicker for Texas State, and he has been incredible. I was actually on College Football at the video game. And they have like a 90 overall custom card for the Ultimate Team with his brother. So just really random fact on Matthew Shipley, who is now the starting kicker for the Razorbacks. Let's see. Some tight end updates. Andreas Poska, who had the concussion, still waiting to hear back on tests with him. Ty Washington should be good to go Monday. And Luke Haas apparently healthy. So, again, I don't know why he's doing this to us, telling us that Luke has is healthy when we all know that he's not. But maybe he'll get healthy over the bye week. Running back Rodney Hill missed the Tennessee game with a concussion. He should be good to go against LSU. Anything else? I think that's it. I think we hit them all. All right.
Well, I think that's it.
All right. That's the injury news for the Arkansas football team. Before we move on to a few more football thoughts, because I gave you guys some assignments to do, some homework, let's tell you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. We are the Arkansas Rivals website covering the Razorbacks, and we do a great job every single day. Premium content, free content. You know, somebody commented on Twitter. You guys saw this. getting upset because of my Taylen Green story. And he was like, well, somebody just please put what the story says so we don't have to pay for this stuff that should be free. Well, it was free. We do a lot of free stuff. So if you're like, man, I shouldn't have to pay for that, it's okay if you don't want to. It supports us. It's how we make our income. But also, we have a lot of free stuff that you can consume that is really good as well. So check us out, HAWGBEAT.com. That is the website, hogbeat.com. All right, team MVP through the first six games. We're at the midway mark of the regular season, guys. Your team MVP through the first six games, Riley McFerrin.
So this is really
tough.
You
can't pick Taylen Green, by the way. Nobody.
Not well. I'm not going
Taylen Green.
It's tough because defensively, I want to pick somebody on defense because through the first three conference games, it's been the defense that has kept them in the game, but it's really a team effort across the board. Like no one in the secondary. I mean, you could say TJ Metcalf, maybe just because he was named defensive player of the week, but Jane Johnson's been really good. I mean, all those guys have been really solid. So looking at it from an offensive point of view, not Taylen Green, I don't want to be boring and go Jaquindon Jackson. I'm going to say Andrew Armstrong, because I think without him, this pass game, which already struggles a little bit, would just be completely non-existent. And having him in that pass game allows the run game to kind of be somewhat successful. So I'm going to go with Andrew Armstrong. I know he still hasn't scored a touchdown, I believe, which is wild because he's really successful in the pass attack. But if I had to be different and not choose him or anyone from the defense, I'm going to go with Devin Bale, because I think people love to hate on Devin Bale.
Are you just getting two picks this year?
No. My official pick is Andrew Armstrong, but my fun pick is Devin Bale, just because every single time he goes out in the field, at this point, I just feel like it's going to work out. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him.
Okay. Well, I was going to pick Devin Bale, so thanks for stealing my pick there. Yeah. Daniel, go ahead.
I was going to go Andrew Armstrong, but since Riley took that already, I'll go to Quinton Jackson. I'll take the boring pick. It's not even that boring. Arkansas's running game last year was so bad. And the fact that he's come in and just been able to do what he's done, he's got 566 yards rushing on 99 carries, and he's got 10 touchdowns. And he's got at least one touchdown in every single game this season. I feel like he's been able to be like not just a steady workhorse for the Arkansas offense, but just kind of a calming presence for Taylen Green. He's talked about that as well. Whenever Taylen starts to struggle, that JJ said he'll go out and he'll go over and tell him to breathe and tell him to calm down. I feel like he's just been like a real glue guy for the Arkansas offense, and he's dependable as well. Fun pick. I was going to say Ashton Noe. I feel like he's just a fun guy, and he hustles hard, and he's just one of those guys that you want on your team. So that's my fun pick, but I'm going to go Jaquindon Jackson.
All right. Some fun numbers on the two guys that you guys chose. So Jaquindon Jackson, he's the fastest Arkansas player to the 10 rushing touchdown mark in a season since Madre Hill rushed for 10 through the first five games in 1995. Jaquindon also leads the SEC with 99 carries so far this season. Andrew Armstrong, the only player in the FBS with 35-plus receptions, 500-plus receiving yards, and zero touchdowns this season. He is second in the SEC in receiving yards, but Trey Harris from Ole Miss is just way ahead of everybody with 52 catches for 885 yards. So, but yeah, good for Andrew Armstrong. I'm going to go with, so you guys chose Armstrong and Jaquindon Jackson. I guess I kind of got to go with the other Jackson, Landon Jackson, because on defense, you think about it, Riley shaking his head as if Landon Jackson didn't like single-handedly just control the Tennessee offensive line all night. He played a huge factor in the Razorbacks upset in the number 19 team in the country. The week before has an insanely good game against Texas A&M despite the loss. Dominates the Texas A&M offensive line. The week before against Auburn, he's still making plays. You go back to the UAB game. Who has the tip pass at the end when UAB is driving and TJ Metcalf gets the pick? It was Landon Jackson who tipped that pass. Everybody who wants to act like Landon Jackson, he doesn't have the stats. Well, let me tell you what, ESPN just came out with their new draft rankings. You know who the number two defensive end on the list is? It's Landon Jackson, right behind Nick Skorton from Texas A&M, who we saw with our own eyes. That dude's a freaking beast. So I'm going to go with Landon Jackson. My fun pick, Fernando Carmona Jr., left tackle. You know, you're protecting Talon's blind side. He has the highest pass block grade on the team this year, according to Pro Football Focus, 80.1. So, I mean, Fernando Carmona Jr., you want to talk about the offensive line, he's been one of the most steady. So, if not the most steady on that offensive line. The left side, him and Harris have done a great job to this point in the season. So, there we go. Those are our MVPs. We won't do roster surprises. We got to move on here. Most important game left on the schedule, folks. I feel like
so. Yeah, so that's kind of tough. It depends on how you answer or want to look at that question. If you're looking at it from the point of view of can Arkansas make a bowl game, then I'd say the game against Mississippi State at Mississippi State, just because the Louisiana Tech game, you think Arkansas should probably win that, and then the Mississippi State game is the only other super winnable game on the schedule. But if you're looking at it from a perspective of can Arkansas go out and just have a really good year, then I'd say this LSU game. I mean, you're coming off a bye week. You have to be able to take advantage of that. And it's kind of tough because if you're looking at it from that point of view of how good Arkansas can be, you could basically say any game. But I think coming off the bye week, you've got this momentum. You need to take advantage of that momentum. I would pick the LSU game.
Yeah, I'd pick the LSU game as well. Just it's a trophy game. You're coming off a bye week. You just upset the number four team in the country. You want to continue that momentum. And so, that's why I would say the LSU game. But the way that the season has gone, kind of like what Mason was saying earlier, it's been really up and down the last few weeks. So, I mean, just like the next one, the next game is always the most important one, in my opinion, in that sense.
Yeah. Man, I want to say that the Texas game, because, you know, if you upset Texas, but it's so hard to look down the road and just, you know, not really know exactly where Arkansas is going to be at that point. So, you know, picking the LSU game is probably the right call. To be different, I'll say the Ole Miss game, I guess. You know, Ole Miss is going to be a ranked team when they come in at that point. You know, there's a chance that they're still a one-loss team by that point, and we're looking ahead to the next week to the Texas game, but you knock off Ole Miss, that's a great home win. You get some momentum going into Texas. You know, the crowd's definitely going to show up for Texas either way, but if you're coming off of a win against Ole Miss, you know, say you beat Mississippi State the week before too, you know, that could be a big game, not only just from a resume standpoint, but from a momentum through the rest of the season standpoint. So just to be different, I'll go Ole Miss. This schedule, guys, we were looking at it daunting at the beginning of the year, but some of these games, I mentioned it earlier, they're looking more winnable. Like this LSU game, Arkansas legit might be favored. Like if LSU loses to Ole Miss, Arkansas could be favored in this game. There's even a world in which Arkansas is like the number 25 team in the AP top 25. I don't know if they would do that or not. It's kind of hard to do that for a team that didn't play a game, but maybe some teams lose. I don't know. We'll see. But that's exciting. We're excited for that. Let's transition, guys, to our Bet Saracen picks before we switch sports. So let's do our Bet Saracen picks for the week. Bet Saracen, the official mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. We have been partnered with them since they launched. We really appreciate them. They've been really good to us, and we enjoy them. I mean, you look at any, you know, betting app in the state, Bet Saracen has it all. They give you the specials for the Arkansas-related stuff. You can't get those on any other app, only Bet Saracen. The Jaquin and Jackson props, what everybody says they feed families, and I feel like they have been this year. If you just bet Jaquin and Jackson rushing touchdown every game, you'd be ahead. So get on Bet Saracen, check them out. Our picks for the week brought to you by Bet Saracen on Bet Saracen. Riley, who you got?
So I feel like I'm falling into a trap here, but man, Diego Pavia, that guy's electric. Vanderbilt, they just beat the number one team in the country, Alabama. They're going on the road to play Kentucky, a Kentucky team who I think they got blown out by South Carolina, but ever since then, they've played really close games. I know they only lost by one to Georgia. I still think that Vanderbilt will keep that game close. The spread is at 13.5 at -110 odds. I'm taking Vanderbilt to cover. And then my other pick, look, at this point, you know, UCF, it's a home game for UCF, but KJ Jefferson, I'm not really sure what's going on. He's had a couple, you know, okay games, but he just really hasn't been the guy I thought he might be in the Big 12. Cincinnati on the road is a +130 money line underdog. I kind of like them to win that game. Cincinnati's had a pretty good year. If you don't want to take the money line, you could take +3 at -110 odds. So I take Cincinnati money line and then Vanderbilt to cover.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Red River rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma. Right now, Texas is favored by 14.5. Oklahoma's coming off that win against Auburn. Texas, I believe they were on a bye week last week. I like Texas to win. I don't know that I like them to cover 14.5. Oklahoma's got a true freshman starting quarterback going into a massive game like that, but I feel like he's good enough to keep it close enough. And so, yeah, I like Texas over Oklahoma, but I don't like them to cover. So I'm gonna pick Oklahoma +14.5 there. Penn State, USC. USC's kind of reeling right now. But they're 4.5-point underdogs. So I'm going to pick Penn State to win and to cover in that one.
I was looking at that Penn State game. I like Penn State in that one too. I'm going to go Ashton JT anytime touchdown -20,000. Have you ever seen someone anytime touchdown -20,000? That's literally what the odds are for it.
Yeah, no, that's wild. That dude is so good. I mean, I don't remember – Who did Boise State play last weekend? I know he had a crazy game.
Utah State.
Yeah. Well, that explains it. Yeah, Ashton John, he's so good.
You can get him to score the first touchdown at +145. That honestly might be worth putting something on. But my actual picks. So I had them pulled up. Oh, I'm taking Kansas State at Colorado. I'm taking the spread if I can get it to load. Sorry. I literally had it pulled up.
That one scares me, man. I mean, people love to hate on Colorado, and I get it, but, like, there's just – I don't know. I never want to bet against Colorado because I know right when I do, that's when they'll win a game.
Yeah. Can somebody tell me the odds? Because my app is not loading right now, which is just bad press for Beth Harrison.
Let me see if I can pull it up here.
I'm taking Kansas State, and I can't even remember what my other game is. So this is really embarrassing. So Kansas State, I think they were -3.5.
You were gonna take South Carolina.
Yes, Kansas State and South Carolina both to cover. So whatever the spreads are, I'm taking them. And I also kind of like Ole Miss -2.5 against LSU.
The spread for Kansas State is -3.5 over Colorado right now.
Yeah, give me that. There you go. And then give me South Carolina. I think they were like +21 against Bama. That's a lot of points. And then fun pick if you want it. I like Ole Miss to win at LSU. So Ole Miss can't afford to lose at LSU, right? Like they literally can't, literally and physically cannot afford to lose at LSU. LSU, on the other hand, can't really afford to lose to Ole Miss. So it should be a fun game to watch. And then obviously you got Oregon and Ohio State. That's the big game for the weekend. I like Oregon in that one. What do you guys like in that one?
Ohio State.
Yeah, I like Ohio State.
Mainly because I want to fade you.
Okay.
Quinshon Judkins is having the season of his life at Ohio State right now.
Him and Jeremiah Smith, too. Jeremiah Smith is an unreal freshman along with Ryan Williams from Bama. Let's transition sports, though. So we have the tip-off tour for the Arkansas basketball team this weekend. What is that, you ask? It is going to be some events, some really fan-centered events in Hot Springs and in Pine Bluff this weekend. Saturday in Hot Springs, Sunday in Pine Bluff, both open at 2:30 for the people who bought premium tickets. I'm assuming tickets probably aren't even available at this point. But you can go check that stuff out. Details on hogbeat.com or just the Arkansas Athletics website. like I mentioned, we're going to have some people there, not exactly sure what things are going to look like. We know that they're going to do some sort of team drill work, maybe a little bit of 5-on-5. Daniel, for the people who don't know, with hogbeat.com, he's going to be our basketball guy this year. Jackson Collier, who you know is our basketball guy, he's got busy. He's got stuff to do up in Michigan. He's in Michigan now. So Daniel's covering basketball for us. Daniel, what are you kind of hoping to learn or see this weekend from John Calipari's team?
I mean, I don't know that there's a whole lot that we're going to be able to glean from these events. Like you said, we're not really sure what they're going to look like, but I think it's just a good opportunity for them to get out and see fans and for fans to be able to see them. I like that they're going to be doing stuff with Samaritan's Feet. And, you know, Calipari has kind of had that community mindset, which I think is going to be really good, just kind of in uniting the fan base. But on the court, I'm excited to see what DJ Wagner looks like. You know, he's healthy coming off of an ankle injury that kind of bothered him all last year. Calipari said he's as athletic as he's ever been. So I'm interested in seeing how he looks and kind of how him and Jonnell Davis, the Florida Atlantic transfer, play together. Jonnell Davis is electric with the ball in his hands. He can shoot really well, you know, breaks down defenders really well. So just kind of how those two play in tandem. And then the center position is another one that I'm looking at. They've kind of got some creative options there between Jonas Adu and Big Z Zvonimir Ivicic. You know, Big Z is able to step out and shoot the three. Jonas is really strong inside. He's got a pretty decent mid-range game as well. So I'm interested to see how they play that. If they do some 5-on-5 work, I'll be interested to see what those lineups look like, because I think it'll be able to give us a somewhat of a clear picture of what we're gonna see when the season kicks off here in a few weeks.
Now, the big news with the basketball team is that the Slobbering Hog is back on the court at Bud Walton Arena. So if you missed this whole fiasco where AD Hunter Yurachek put out this challenge to Razorback fans saying we got a $500,000 donation, if we get it matched within however many days. How many days was it, Riley? Five? Is that how many days?
Yeah, at the time it was five.
Okay, so he gave them 5 days, Monday at 5 o'clock, if we reach 500K. And match donations, then we'll have $1 million, and then we'll also put the Slobbering Hog back on the court. Everybody knew they were going to do it either way, but they apparently raised it, according to them. They're claiming that they raised the money, so we will believe their word. And according to them, Justin Moore, his concert at the Walmart Amp raised a lot of money. And I guess they had what he said, they had one big time donation at the end, something like that. So again, we're going to believe that they raised that money. We don't see the numbers on that. Nobody does, because it's just a lot of sketchy stuff. But you got the Slobbering Hog back on the court at Bud Walton Arena. A lot of people excited about it. I don't know why anybody would be upset about it, guys.
Yeah. It was funny leading up to that announcement. You know, Hunter Yurachek kind of had a little bit of fun. He kind of trolled the Arkansas fan base a little bit. He posted a picture of Nolan Richardson Court with the front-facing Hog logo that everybody hates. I don't have a big opinion on logos. You know, I'm not really big into that kind of thing. I kind of get why people don't like it. I don't know why people have such disdain for it, but I find it surprising. We have the Slobbering Hog logo back at midcourt in Bud Walton Arena before we have the official basketball schedule, less than a month away from tip off. I'm not really sure what's going on there. I don't know if they have like one more game to schedule, or I'm not really sure what's going on, but yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Slobbering Hog, it's a cool logo, you know, obviously has a lot of history tied to it. You get it the first year you have John Calipari back. So, I mean, there's just so much to be excited about for this basketball season, and you know, we're almost there.
Yeah. I'm old, but I'm not old enough to remember the Slobbering Hog on the court before they moved it over to the new logo. But so I don't have a huge opinion on it. I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool. I mean, John Calipari's talked about you know, wanting to pay homage to Nolan Richardson and the people that kind of came before him. And so I feel like this is just another way for them to do that, which I think is really cool. And so I don't have a huge opinion on it. Like everybody else, I figured it was probably going to come anyways, but Hunter just kind of used it as an opportunity to kind of put some money into the NIL piggy bank, which is cool. I mean, we've had our he's had his criticism of NIL, but he's, you know, that's a good idea to utilize that as a way to bring in more NIL donations for sure.
Yeah. You know, there were some people that were upset about that, but I thought it worked out well. And assuming that they did in fact raise the money, then it's good for Arkansas. It's good for the basketball team. You know, our guy Jackson Collier, he mentioned that they need to put back up the scoreboard that was like the basketball
The
net.
net.
I agree with that. That thing was sick. They put up the one now that was kind of like a smaller version of what they have at Cowboy Stadium, which was like a big fad back in when that stadium debuted and everybody wanted a scoreboard that looked like that. I'd be okay with bringing back the net scoreboard. That would look
I would as
cool.
well.
Yeah, the net's cool. It's unique.
Yeah. So that would be my only thing. And I think they are going to make renovations to Bud Walton Arena at some point. They are planning on doing that. I don't know all the details on that, but whenever that comes around, we'll talk about it. Now, you have the tip-off tours this weekend, so make sure you're tuned in to hogbeat.com for those. But you also have these exhibitions coming up, and we got one this month. So Arkansas basketball plays this month, not an official game, but October 25th, Friday night, Arkansas, Kansas, Bud Walton Arena. You're going to see the court debuted, and you're also going to get to see the John Calipari Arkansas Razorbacks for the first time ever against Kansas in an exhibition. Here's what John Calipari had to say about that exhibition, and then also they're going to play TCU in Dallas on November 1st.
The thing I tell you that I've been saying this for a decade, why are we not playing each other in exhibition games? You got TV, you can put it on, the fans get to see it. Well, what's the reason? And they said, because. I said, well, because what? Because. So by now letting us do as charity, it solves two issues for me. It gets us involved in different things in our community, and we get to play these kind of people. And you know, we may, Bill and I and Jamie and I, we're all good friends. Let's play zone for 5 minutes. Let's press each other. Let's do some situation work. Let's do 2, 3 minute situations. We're up eight and then we're down eight. Let's see how we play. Why not? It's good for both programs. People are going to want to see it. I'm just, like I said, I like to challenge the guys. And when you're doing this, another building, and you need everybody to see where the program is against, you know, you get hyped. You play a couple bad teams, three bad teams. We're the best in the world. And you come out and you get your ears clipped back. Yeah, because you're not really what you think you are. And most of us coaches would know that. Like, and you try to warn everybody we're not what we think we are, and no one listens to, yeah, you're 3-0, you know. So, but I think it serves both purposes.
Some good stuff there from the first year head hog, John Calipari. That game's going to be incredible. That's just, I mean, it's the atmosphere. You talk about the football atmosphere. It is what it is. Football is just, it's two different things. But I'm thinking back to that Purdue exhibition last year, and that was as electric as any atmosphere I've been in at Bud Walton. And that includes the games where they rushed the court against Auburn and Duke. They rushed the court for the Duke game, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Daniel, your thoughts on the Kansas exhibition?
I don't want to put a whole lot of stock into it because we put a whole lot of stock into the Purdue exhibition last year and we all saw how that turned out. I think Calipari mentioned it kind of further on in that press conference where, you know, he's like, we're probably going to get stung a little bit. Like, there's still a whole lot to work out for that team moving into the start of the season. And so I do think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to be there. But I don't think that there's going to be as much that we can glean from it in the preseason. Just, you know, it's preseason. Like Calipari said, they might stop and do some situational stuff, which would be pretty cool to see. You know, but there's palpable excitement for it. I think it'll be awesome just to watch, and hopefully we get a KU Arkansas home and home at some point in the regular season kind of down the road. And you know, when the games mean something, I think it'll be cooler. But I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna be an awesome atmosphere, and it helps charity, which is really awesome.
And we'll finally get to watch Hunter Dickinson at Bud Walton Arena, like we all dreamed about not very long ago. So that'll be cool to see. But basketball season, it's really starting to ramp up. They've been doing preseason practices. Social teams been posting stuff. Next week is going to be SEC Media Day on Tuesday. So John Calipari is going to head down there with John L. Davis. And is it Adu Thero? I mean, is that
Adu
it?
Thero, I
Adu?
think.
Yeah,
I think
Adu
so.
Thero.
Okay. So they are going to be heading down to Birmingham, Alabama on Tuesday. They have a time slot of 2:30 to 4:35. I'm sure they'll go through the car wash of media. So that'll be fun to keep up with what's going on with that. Make sure you're tuned in to hogbeat.com. We're going to have all that covered for the basketball team. And then also the baseball team, you got something, Riley.
I wanted to very quickly add an inkling of basketball recruiting information just because during the time we were recording, two more Rivals future casts have come in for Malik Thomas, the number 7 overall player in the country, according to Rivals, a shooting guard out of Atlanta, Georgia, plays at Overtime Elite. Two more future casts have come in for him from other media for him to land at Arkansas. They actually flipped the picks from UConn, which he was previously being recruited by, to Arkansas. So that's now 3 total with Jackson Collier. I believe he's just coming off a visit recently. He visited for the Tennessee game, obviously in the electric atmosphere. Really good player, so keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Well, I got one more thing. I'm not sure when it'll come through, but according to John Rothstein yesterday, tip-off times broadcast information for the basketball season should be announced today. So we're keeping an eye on that. So stay tuned to Hogbeat. We'll have that as well.
All right. Switching gears to baseball real quick. The Diamond Hogs will host Oklahoma State this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Two baseball exhibitions. So Friday, 6 p.m., first pitch. By the way, all this is free to the public, free parking, free entrance, concessions available. You can take food into the hog pen, but not in the seating area, the general admission, or wherever the seats are. You cannot take food in there. 6 p.m. Friday, these will not be streamed. Make sure you're on hogbeat.com. Again, we say it over and over again, but everything you need, that's where it's at. 6 p.m. Friday, they're going to go 9 innings on Friday. And then he said Saturday, Riley, what, two different 5-inning games? So 10 innings total and with like a 15-minute break in between?
Yeah, 2 5-inning games. After the first game, they'll take a 10 to 15-minute break to reset the field, and then they'll play again. And, you know, kind of interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that before, 2 5-inning games. But, you know, DVH also said that, you know, between Friday and Saturday, he probably wouldn't necessarily give just a ton of position guys playing time opportunity. Friday, he said that, you know, the starting lineup should look similar to last Friday's lineup, which is like pretty close to the starting nine. And then I think Friday, Gabe Gackel will be on the mound. And then I don't know if he announced the pitcher for the Saturday game. I can't remember.
I don't think he did. But yeah, that's what we're looking at. I'm excited to see Gackel. We did get an update on some injuries. So Rocco Pepi's been dealing with a back issue, the transfer from Fresno State. A lot of people have been asking about him. DVH said at the very least he would have been their DH this weekend. So that's notable with Rocco Pepi. We also learned, and we knew this if you're on hogbeat.com, but Cooper Dossett had Tommy John surgery. So he was a decent, you know, contributor as a sophomore in the spring, but had the injury against Texas A&M. Dave loves to mess with the media, and I was trying to confirm with him that it was Tommy John and asking like when he had Tommy John, and Dave was like, well, it occurred against Texas A&M. Yes, Dave, I know it occurred against Texas A&M. Anyways, they were hoping that it would heal, but it didn't. Here, I'll let DVH explain the rest of it for you.
Well, it happened last year at Texas A&M, and it wasn't completely torn. It was just kind of weak, and they thought it, you know, they could rehab it back, and you know, it didn't. It just too much pain in there, and it was bothering him, and kind of to the point where we went in and had it evaluated again, and it had gotten a little bit worse. So just decided to get it fixed. And you can You know, you can talk to Corey about all the details, my trainer.
He tells me to talk to Corey like I'm ever going to get an interview with Corey Wood. But another thing he said that was notable was they haven't scrimmaged as much this fall, and the at-bats, kind of not as many at-bats. They're working on some more fundamental stuff. So I think after they lost to Kansas State and then they lost to SEMO, got knocked out of their own regional, Dave basically said afterwards that they've got to recruit different players, and we've kind of seen that a little bit, and they've kind of done things a little bit differently this fall. So I don't know, maybe we'll see something different with this baseball team in general in 2025. So I'm excited to see Oklahoma State come to town. That's a team that won 40 plus games last year, 19-9 in Big 12 play. And one thing that fans might not know off the top of their head, Jason Jones, former Razorback, plays for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and you can only assume that he's going to absolutely rake this weekend for the Cowboys.
He's going to hit a 500-foot bomb. Like, I already know it's going to happen.
Well, he has hit like some of the furthest and hardest hit home runs at Baum Walker in the past few years, so should be fun. Daniel, any thoughts on the baseball team from you?
No, I'm excited for it. Baseball was like my first love, so I've always been a big baseball guy. So I'm excited about the baseball team, but I think it's going to be cool. This is if I'm remembering correctly, they haven't done like a fall exhibition with another team in at least quite a while, right?
2022 was the last time they played against the Rangers Instructional League team. But another college team, you have to go back to 2019, they played Oklahoma.
That's right.
So that's the last time they did that. Obviously, these two teams, a lot of history. They, you know, you go back to the 2022 Stillwater Regional, but even, you know, last year they played, you know, a pretty competitive game at Globe Life Field. The year before, the game at Globe Life Field was not competitive at all. So you guys remember that Arkansas run ruled them like 18-1, but last year's game, what was that, the game that went to extras, or was that Oregon State game? It was the Oklahoma State game, and Arkansas lost and then came back the next day and just barely beat Michigan. That's what happened.
Yep. Yeah. I remember that, that game in Arlington against Oklahoma State, because we were sitting up in the press box and they were doing all the post game interviews on the field. And so you leaned over to me and you were like, "Hey, you should go down to the field now," because it was like the ninth inning. And I finally get down there and I have to watch like pretty much an entire game, because it was like, I think it went to 16 innings.
Was the final one.
So I'm just standing there, and you could see me if you were watching the Flow Sports broadcast. I'm just like sitting in the background. It was a fun game. It was exciting to watch. I mean, obviously you wish it would have ended differently. I think that one ended on, was it a squeeze play at home that it ended on?
I think so. I think I remember it being something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun game. That was a fun weekend. Yeah.
One cool thing about this weekend, Arkansas Edge NIL Collective, they're selling experience packages. So if you purchase one, which I assume it's too late to get one, fans are going to get to watch batting practice from the dugout, tour the Hunt Family Baseball Development Center, with Norm DeBrien. Wow, that's cool. And then they get an autographed DVH baseball. So that's cool. That's good from Arkansas Edge. They look, say what you want about Arkansas Edge, and we have been very critical of them, as have a lot of people, rightfully so, but I feel like they're definitely starting to move in the right direction. The NIL Collective, the official one for the U of A, is Arkansas Edge, and they're doing good, guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, speaking of Arkansas Edge, they're kind of following in Vanderbilt's footsteps. They're selling the end zone. Why can't I remember the name for
goalpost.
It? The goalpost. Yeah, they're selling goalpost portions. You can buy, I think it's $500 for a 6-inch portion, and then $1,000 for a 6-inch portion with Sam Pittman, Bobby Petrino, and Travis Williams's signatures on it. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, Vanderbilt's doing it. I never thought Arkansas would ever really follow Vanderbilt in something like NIL, but here we are. Kind of going with what Mason said, people have had their criticisms of Arkansas Edge and how Arkansas handles the NIL world, but I think we're kind of starting to see some things go in the right direction. It helps when you win games. So I don't know. Maybe they'll continue to do, you know, cool things like that.
I don't know. Why are they selling the goalposts if they didn't take them down? Like with Vandy, like they took those down and they carried him all the way down through downtown Nashville into the river or whatever body of water it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. They took him down after the game, but it's not like the fans tore him down, you know. It works though. It's fine. They're going to make money from it. I'm being a pessimist. Go ahead, Daniel.
No, I was going to say that they took it all the way down Broadway in Nashville, which is where all the honky tonks and the bachelorette parties are usually popping, and tossed it into the Cumberland River, which is pretty cool. I believe it's the Cumberland River.
Okay. So that's baseball. Like we said, six on Friday, noon on Saturday. Sorry. Last thing that I wanted to get in here, guys, because we didn't talk about it with the football team earlier. A few things I wanted to mention. One, Fernando Carmona Jr., co-offensive lineman of the week in the SEC. Second time he's been awarded that this year. Also, just shout out to Braylon Russell for what he did on that final drive. We didn't really talk about him, but the freshman running back, he's a load, 253 pounds coming right down at you. He is, he's playing some good football. Very pleased with what we're seeing from Braylon Russell. My computer's making a noise, but let's talk about these bowl game projections, guys. So some bowl game projections for Arkansas after six games. Not as interesting as you would like, because like four of them are for the Liberty Bowl, and I just don't want to go to Memphis. I'll put my hand up and say right now, I don't want to go back to Memphis ever. I don't need a reason to ever go back to Memphis. I've been plenty of times. I've been to the Liberty Bowl. It's not that great. Now, one of the projections was good because I think this was, what, ESPN maybe? Yeah, ESPN had Arkansas-UCF in the Liberty Bowl.
I think people, you know, people generally don't want to go back to the Liberty Bowl, but if it's to face KJ Jefferson and Gus Malzahn, I think they might be a little more open to the idea.
Yep.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
So
I think most people though would much rather go to Las Vegas for a matchup against Washington State, which is what Mark Schlaubeck at ESPN is projecting.
That's one of them. You also had the Texas Bowl. Brett McMurphy from Action Network has them in the Texas Bowl against Kansas State. That one would be fun. Daniel, you and your boy Avery Johnson. Daniel, the biggest Avery Johnson fan in the world.
If there's one Avery Johnson fan in the world, it's me. If there are no Avery Johnson fans in the world, it's because I'm dead. I would love to see Arkansas go up against Kansas State. I feel like we've seen Arkansas and Kansas State in bowl games too much in the last 10 years or so, but I think that would be awesome. I think it'd be electric.
Well, if you want to get specific, just not Arkansas and Kansas State in the Liberty Bowl again. Like, let's just not do that one again. Now, the other thing is, from USA Today, they have Arkansas playing Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl. I'm out on that one, too. I'm not trying to go to the Birmingham Bowl. But you get
I don't think anyone wants to go to that one.
Athlon Sports has them in the Gator Bowl against Louisville. I'll go down to Jacksonville.
I think if Arkansas can beat LSU, you know, I think maybe more national media will kind of get on that Arkansas hype train. We'll start to see maybe more of the Gator Bowl type projections. But yeah, the Birmingham Bowl is a no-go for me. Louisville though in the Gator Bowl, like you were saying, I mean that'd be a pretty fun matchup against Louisville, I think. That'd be Bobby Petrino's former team.
Bobby Petrino revenge game. I think the Las Vegas Bowl of all these would be my favorite. I want to check out Allegiant Stadium. They call it the Death Star, home of the UNLV Running Rebels. Maybe we can tour Barry Odom's facility, which looks incredible, by the way. Unfortunately, they lost. We should say that Barry Odom and UNLV lost last week, and I picked them. So whoever I picked this week, South Carolina and what was the other? Kansas State. Yeah, those teams are screwed. So anything else to add on this episode of Hogbeat Radio, guys? Bye week, but we are going to be doing some coverage this weekend. Mentioned it, baseball, basketball, we'll have you covered. Boys,
I don't think there's much else. No. Yeah, 49ers will beat the Seahawks today.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
They play later this evening. If they don't win after losing to Arizona last week, I am going to be devastated.
Yeah. Any comment on the Chiefs? Because you like to talk about
how bad they are. No comment on the Chiefs, man. Here's what I'm going to say on the Chiefs. I'm sick of it, man. I'm just going to say that. And I feel like most people listening, unless you're a Chiefs fan, are sick of it and they're just tired of Patrick Mahomes. I'm over it. So I really hope you guys have some bad juju coming your way.
We've already had plenty of bad juju. Half of our team is out for the season. Freaking Mahomes is having to do it himself with Carson Steele at running back and Kareem Hunt back for his second chance. And Juju Smith-Schuster is the number one wide receiver. So we're just living in a simulation in Kansas City. I don't know why you keep doing this to yourself, though, because think about how long Tom Brady played for, Riley. Patrick Mahomes is still young. You've got a long ways to go.
Yeah, I don't need to be reminded of that.
All right. Daniel, I see that you've been having something to say. You got anything to add on the Chiefs?
No, I am actively rooting for a Chiefs three-peat, assuming that my Chicago Bears don't run the table and go to the Super Bowl. But I don't know. It's a dynasty at this point. And Riley's so jaded about the Chiefs.
I'm seething, man. Well, I mean, dude, my favorite team has lost to them, you know, two times now. It's terrible. I mean,
I know your pain. It's how I felt about the Patriots because they were kind of that team. It was like the Patriots and the Steelers, you know, for the longest time under the Alex Smith Kansas City Chiefs. So I kind of know how you feel, but not really because I've won two Super Bowls in a row, three in the last five. So like I mean, I'm trying to relate with you, man, but it's kind of tough here. So.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can end whatever. It on this note of Riley just crying about the Kansas City Chiefs. So thank you, everybody, for listening to Hogbeat Radio. And we'll be back with you next Thursday to preview a big matchup. It'll be a big matchup between the Arkansas Razorbacks and the LSU Tigers. So stay tuned to hogbeat.com throughout the week. We'll have you kept up with everything you need to know, all the news, notes, and everything on the Arkansas Razorbacks on Hogbeat.